talk about something today that's really, really, really going to be kind of powerful. I need you to listen. Don't get the words mixed up, okay? You know, we'll be singing. You ever notice we're singing praise and worship, and all of a sudden we start singing one thing and another thing pops up there because we get the words mixed up? Well, this time I don't need you to get the words mixed up, okay? I want you to listen very carefully because I believe with all my heart this is not Revelation Sunday. It's First Sunday. So remember, whenever we have communion, we go back to basics, okay? First, I want to tell you this. D.C. received his plate, little D.C., when he was little. One day he received his plate and started eating right away, and his mama said, D.C., wait until we say our prayer. He said, I don't have to. And his mom said, of course you have to. She insisted we say our prayer before eating at our house. He said, yeah, but that's our house. D.C. said, but this is grandma's house, and she knows how to cook. Oh, that was a good one. Okay, that was a good one. Okay, get your Bible out. Turn to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. Honestly, if I was to ask how many, I got to get going before I start asking any questions because I want y'all to get this. This is very powerful. It's so powerful that it's going to take a couple of Sundays to get through it because I do not want to rush it. I want to take our time. Were the praise and worship awesome this morning? Yes. They keep on going to teach me how to play that bass. Really? That's for y'all to say, you already know how. Nobody said that. Y'all went, okay, yeah. Well, forget it then. I'm playing. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Stand for the reading of the word. Second Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1. And it came to pass that after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them besides the Ammonites, also came Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some, told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side of Syria, and behold, they be in Hazaron Tamar, which is Engedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord, even out of the cities of Judah. They came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, O Lord, God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? Rulest thou not over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is not their power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee. Art thou now our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before the children of Israel, before the people, thy people Israel, and give it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? And thou dwell therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then we will hear, thou will hear, and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldst not let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they have turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. Stretch forth your hands this way. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace and your mercy. I thank you, God, for your power and your anointing, and I thank you for your word. And God, I ask you right now, Lord, to help us, Lord, to get this in our spirit today. Get it in our spirit. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. You can be seated. Overcoming a deflated attitude. Overcoming a deflated attitude. As I watch in this day and time that we live, many people I say, are you depressed? No, I'm not depressed, but I just don't know what's going on. I mean, I'm not full of depression, but I just can't seem to get it right. You ever been there? I'm not depressed, but I'm not happy either. I want to get it done, but I just can't seem to get it all together. Well, I believe with all my heart that would be called a deflated spirit, a deflated attitude. So let's just go a little bit here. See, God promises us that He will. He promises us that we're never going. Never has He promised us, praise God, that we're going to have a stress-free life. Never has He promised us that we're going to have a problem-free life. Anybody here not had any stress lately? Anybody here not had any problems lately? John 16 and 33 says we would have tribulation. That word tribulation is thlipsis, which means to be squeezed to the point or crushed to the point that you can't even think. To be crushed to the point that you can't even seem to move. Now let me ask you a question. That word tribulation, again, crushed. Have you felt kind of crushed in your spirit lately? Have you seen the stuff that goes on around us? You're going, huh? What is this? You know, and I'm over there safe watching the Inspirational Channel. And so when I'm watching the Inspirational Channel or TV Land, I'm not seeing all the stuff that everybody else is seeing necessarily. And every now and then we'll go, and now you go to CMT or some of the other channels, now you get to see some of the stuff that they're pushing now. And the more I see it pushed, and I wonder, no wonder this place has gone crazy. The stuff they're pushing. The stuff that they're trying to infiltrate our minds with. The stuff that they're trying not, they don't just want us to get it, they want to shove it. Don't you even try to do it with Christ. Don't you shove Christ down my throat. Don't you push church at me, but you turn on the TV and all this other junk is being shoved and pushed. And each week is pushed harder and harder and harder. You say, what's going on? It is a trick of the enemy, but it is what we would call tribulation because there's so much pressure building right now. And as the pressure builds, people can't seem to get along. People can't seem to, you know, nobody can seem to even sit down and just talk about this. It's, no! This is the way it is. No, this is the way it is. What happened to sitting down and talking? The pressure is crushing us. But you know what? The Bible tells us that although we're in this pressure, be of good cheer, be of good courage, because I understand the pressure. I've been there. I'm getting ready to get in it more when I go to the cross, and I've already overcome this. You can too. Romans 8 says, we walk in His love and His presence. We were more than conquerors to Him that loved us. So now, let's just talk about a deflated spirit. Now, a deflated spirit, now let's just talk about it. Let's put it in the Bible here. Let's keep the Bible going strong here, okay? Jehoshaphat, he was facing a real threat. Matter of fact, it was not only he facing a real threat, but Moab was defeated by him. But now, he seemed to have the winning hand with Moab before, but God said, no, back off. And so now Moab says, I want to come up against God's people. So I know that I can't do it by myself, so I'm going to triple it. I'm going to make it stronger than it's ever been. So when I come back, I'm going to overwhelm him with thlipsis, with pressure. Let me ask you a question. You think about years ago how certain things you just seem to be able to overcome and certain problems you could just go on and on and on, everything would be cool. But in since COVID and all the stuff that's bloomed out since COVID is coming in so many directions you don't even know how to think anymore. If you're not careful, what it's trying to do is get you off balance. And if it gets you off balance, it can take you down. And so look. An unexpected threat proves real fear in this man's life. This here is the greatest king that they had had up to this point. This was a very powerful man. He brought revival back. He's very powerful. But you know what? Fear has deflated his spirit. Fear has done something to him that although he knows what's right, although he knows what God wants to do in his life, he knows that God has his hand on him. Although he knows God's hand is on him, he feels the hand of the enemy squeezing him even more. We've all been there. Matter of fact, you may be there now. Because of all the stuff that's happening, because of all the things that are going on, because of all the problems that we seem to be facing. You know, I remember back that the theme of Rodney King was, can't we all get along? Can't we all get along? But that's no longer the theme. It's do it my way. And that's it. No questions asked. Throw away whatever you believe in. Just everybody do it one way. And the pressure comes. And it hits harder and harder and harder as time goes by. So now, what is a deflated attitude? Not defeated. You weren't defeated yet. Not depressed. Depressed is a condition. Depressed is the other end of deflated. My friend, let me just tell you a little bit about the deflated attitude. Fear rises up in your life and usually it's from unexpected circumstances. It can be a call from a doctor. You know, it can be a call from your employer. It can be a news article on television. Something pops up that you weren't expecting. You get a call from a child, whatever it is. But whatever it is, it honestly, you're sitting here, you're smiling, you're having a good time, you're worshiping God. And here's how you know it's a deflated attitude or spirit. The wind gets taken out of yourself. Your motivation has been halted. All of a sudden, you find yourself. Matter of fact, I would say this. A deflated spirit or attitude is the door, and depression is the lock. A deflated spirit is the doorway. A depressed spirit is the lock. Okay? So once the wind is out of your sail, you find that you were having a good day, you're having a good time, and all of a sudden now you're going, whoa, I can't believe I just heard that. I can't believe I just saw that. I can't believe they just asked me that. And so now your good day has turned into a bad day. You're running and jumping and ready to jump over a wall and run through a troop. No, now you want to say, oh, if I had wings like a dove and I could fly away, I would. So look, what happens is a deflated spirit, that's where Satan wants us. Because when you get a deflated spirit, it aggravates your problem. Okay? It exaggerates your problem, it aggravates your problem, it minimizes your power, confuses your faith. It deflates your hope, it deflates your faith. It deflates your expectation. Oh, we still got it. But it wasn't like it was before we got deflated. And if left unattended, it will drive you into a depressed spirit. So when you find yourself in this moment, there's different degrees too, because all times during the day, just with a special call, a special talk, somebody speaking, somebody saying something. You can have the air knocked out of your cell. That's just normal every day. But then sometimes it's such a big hit that not only just takes the air out of your cell, it tears the cell. So now, it forces you to a decision point. And that decision point is this. Am I going to stay in confusion looking for an answer? Or am I going to take it to the one who is the answer? Now, I thought about how many ways to do this. I thought about it. And so many times I'll say deflated or whatever I go up and say. And then somebody may not quite understand what I'm saying, so I'm going to bring it down to your back door. Ready? He said, well, I'm not sure what you're even talking about. All right? A deflated attitude will tell you lies. It will lie, cheat, and steal. Why? Because the one driving the deflated attitude, John 10:10 says, the thief cometh not before to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So let's just go through some of the lies, and then we're going to go back to the Word, okay? So now, the Bible tells us that the tongue has the power of life and death. Amen? And whatever you speak, it says you're going to love the fruit thereof. You're going to live by the fruit. So you go around speaking defeat, guess what you're going to reap? You're going to reap defeat. If you're around speaking gloom, be spared and agony on me. Ah! Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. Ah! If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Ah! Gloom, be spared and agony on me. That was the hee-haw praise team. Let me ask you a question. Has it ever been your praise song? Don't look at me like I lost my mind. I lost that a long time ago. Okay. What does the deflated attitude say about you? Ready? Get ready. I bet you may find yourself in here. This is when you've got that deflated attitude going on. I can't do anything right. Why should I even try? My usefulness is over. I hate myself. Look at so-and-so. Comparing yourself. I must have done something wrong. Nobody loves me. Have you said that lately? Just remember, it was that deflated attitude talking. Driven by who? Satan. And how does Satan attack us? Through our flesh. I'm just going to leave it right there for a minute. All I want to say is, this is far from God's truth. We're going to get back to that in a minute. Next. Well, I'm just going to take time because I want you to think about this. What does your deflated attitude say about your situation that you're currently in? Ready? Here we go. I don't see any way out. It don't matter anyway. This is intolerable. It's not fair. I'm helpless to change it. I can't do anything about it. I can't bear it. You heard that lately? Wow. I can hear the air going out as we're watching and listening. Don't stop there. One more time. Remember, this is far from God's truth. I'm not leaving you here. I'm just bringing you to the door right now. We're getting ready to bust the door down, all right? Deflated attitude lies again. Ready? What does the deflated attitude say about your future? Get ready. So what? Nothing's ever going to change. No one will ever love me. I'll be too old. It was my last chance for happiness. I have nothing to live for. It's hopeless. Wow. Have you heard yourself in that category of terms? Also, this is far from God's truth. So now, and there's Jehoshaphat. He's in a bad fix. He's in a bad, bad fix. So how do we get beyond a deflated attitude? How do we get back our wind? How do we find strength to get back into the battle? Okay, I'm glad you asked. We're going to start with this. Ready? Get ready. There's three ways to handle a deflated spirit. Jehoshaphat saw what was coming, and he was filled with fear. What he did after that decided whether he was going to win or lose. Some of y'all in here right now, When I read that out, some of y'all said, has he been reading my mind? Have I been talking out loud and not knowing it? No. I just know. That is a deflated attitude. And the Bible said, and Jehoshaphat feared. Let's just stop it right there. He feared. He literally was under so much pressure, he could not think. He was under so much pressure that his faith began to dwindle as fear began to take over. So there's three ways to handle a deflated spirit. Number one, you can just deny it, act like it doesn't exist. I see people all the time. I've done that. Oh, it don't exist. I didn't really mean that when I was thinking it. That was just a fleeting thought. I don't feel that way. Really? If you're thinking it, you feel that way. You can deny it all you want. But if you're thinking that, welcome to the deflation club. So you can deny it now like it don't exist. Well, I've been serving God for 50 years. That ain't me. Oh, yes, it can be you. Tell that to Peter, who went out and wept bitterly after he denied Christ 3 times. Tell that to Judas, who could not handle it and hung himself. Tell that to Jonah, who wound up in the belly of a whale. Tell that to Moses, who said, God, you want me to do this for these people? These people? Just take me. Matter of fact, I know you've never felt any of those things. Number two, you can fry. You can deny, you can fry. You can be overcome with fear and then start taking matters in your own hands. I promise you, if you fear, which is the opposite of faith, if you let fear get its grips on you, then you'll start figuring this stuff out yourself. And as you figure it out yourself, you're not led by faith, you're led by fear. And when you're led by fear, I promise you, whatever you do is going to be a misstep, leading to a mistake. So what's next? Well, Joseph had feared and set himself to seek the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast. And he gathered them all together. Ask help of the Lord. He decided, I can't take this pressure. I can't fix it. Some of y'all would be a whole lot better if you could just say to yourself, I'm going to let everybody do it right now, so just go and get some relief. Hold your hands up, all of you. And I want you to say this out loud. Lord, I can't fix it. It's got the best of me. I give it to you. You take it, because it's too heavy for me. And I thank you, because I know you got it. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So look, he said himself, seek the Lord. He responded properly. He went to God. So let's just go back to our little things that we just went to. What does the deflated attitude say to you? I can't do anything right. Why should I even try? My usefulness is over. I hate myself. Look at so-and-so. They're doing good. Why not me? I must have done something wrong. Nobody loves me. Again, the tongue has the power of life and death. Ready? So what does the light of truth say about you? The light of truth. Not those lies that you just heard. The truth. This is how you respond when you start hearing this. We all hear it. You can't keep a bird from landing on your head, but you can prevent him from building a nest. Okay? Isaiah 54:10, though the mountains be shaken, though the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, or my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you. Somebody needs to write that down. Mark it in your Bible, write it down. If you have to, write it on your forehead so every look in the mirror and start talking junk to yourself, you can look up there and say, wait a minute. Though the mountains be shaken, that's what's going on. Though the hills be removed, that's going on. Yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, or my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you. So now, what does the deflated attitude say about your situation? I don't see any way out. It didn't matter anyway. This is intolerable. It's not fair. I'm helpless to change it. I cannot do anything about it. I can't bear it. What does the light of truth say about your situation? Y'all ready? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That literally means I am up, that's the Greek, I am up to any challenge that comes my way because I do it through Christ. Wow. I'm up to any challenge, no matter what the enemy throws my way when he's trying to crush me under pressure. I've told this story before, I'm going to tell it again. You know, they were trying to put a submarine down 7 miles at the bottom of the sea. But 7 miles, that's one of the farthest places they found in the sea. But they couldn't get anything down there because the pressure would crush anything they put down there. They didn't even think there was any animal life because nothing could survive 7 miles in the sea. So finally, through modern technology, they invented a manless sub that they could send down that could withstand that pressure. And so the day came, they sent down that sub, doing all these measurements and all this stuff. And as they're going down there, they're going to take samples and take pictures. While they're down there, pretty soon all the animals just disappeared. It was just the sub going down with the light on, trying to see what's going on. When it hit bottom, they said, hold on. We said there was no life could even stand being down here because it would crush them. But we see little fish. They're everywhere. These little bitty fish were just swimming around having a good time at 7 miles down. And they said, how can this be? It's all we could do to build a sub that could go down that far without being crushed. We can't even put a man in it. And no animals are down, no whales, no sharks, none of that. But we see these little bitty bitty fishes swimming all around having a good time. So what they did was, is they swooped some of the fish in. And they carried it to the surface. When they carried it to the surface, the biologists decided they would figure out why these fish could survive when nothing else on earth could survive that kind of pressure. And they found out that inside that little bitty fish, God had given them a little pump. And no matter how much pressure on the outside, it was being exposed to, it wouldn't crush the fish because there was a greater pressure on the inside pushing out. Wow. Kind of like us. Somebody watches you as you're going through things going, why is he not being crushed under that pressure? Why are they not being torn all to pieces? This pressure ought to kill them. And you can stand up and say, watch this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, because greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. So the world can bring all the crushing pressure it wants to bring, but greater is he that's in me. He's pushing out harder than they're pushing in. I can survive anything because Christ lives in me, and nothing, nothing, nothing can defeat him. Nothing! Amen! And then finally, what was the deflated attitude said about your future? So what? Nothing will ever change. No one will ever love me. I'll be too old. That was my last chance for happiness. I have nothing to live for. It's hopeless. What does the light of truth say about your future? Watch this. God says, and it was right in one of those Bibles. It was in Sierra's Bible. I know the plans I have for you. It didn't say, I know the plans you have for you. The Bible says man can choose this plot his path, but God's the one that directs it. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope in the future. Jeremiah 29:11. I would hope that if you're struggling with any of those things we just talked about, that you got a copy of that and you stuck it in your Bible and you stuck it in your wallet. You know, I remember when Daniel went to BLET, and it was tough. They were tough on him. And I didn't know what was going on this part, but he saw me through life's problems. I would find a scripture that matched the problem I was going through. And that scripture always contained a promise. And so I would put it where I could see it, and I'd put it where I needed it. So every time I walked past that problem area, I had the promise to rely on instead of listening to the deflation, trying to take the wind out of my sail. And I got in Daniel's car one day to move it. He was going through all this. It was some tough stuff. They'd fight every night. He had bumps and bruises, and he was trying to remember all these laws and all this stuff. I went to move his car, and I put down the visor because the sun was in my eye. And he had pasted up great old big. I refuse to give in to defeat, for greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So every time he got in his car and flipped down his sun visor, he saw that and he would repeat it to himself. I didn't even know he was doing it. You gotta fight the deflation with inspiration. And inspiration comes from God's word. Did everything begin? BJ, come up here and get replaced something, bro. Let everything begin and end with God's word. We're going to finish this up next. We're going to go through the steps that Jehoshaphat went through. Jehoshaphat went through some very powerful steps. And I want us to learn how to go through these steps too. But to start with, we've got to have a foundation. And that foundation is God's word. Let everything begin and end with, thus saith the Lord. Everybody stand. As you stand, first let me just ask you this. I want everybody to bow their head right from the dig it. Go and bow your head and close your eyes. Nobody looking around. When I was reading through those self-talk things that we do, and talking about how a deflated spirit talks to us, the enemy. And the wildest thing is, he doesn't use his voice. Guess whose voice he uses? Yours. So it sounds like you're talking to yourself, but you know who's driving it? Satan. With every head bowed, every eye closed. Have you been hearing some of those deflated statements lately? And not only have you been hearing them, you've been giving in to some of them and believing them. Today is the day for something special to happen. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you've had to fight some of these statements and didn't even realize it was Satan using your voice to attack you, But now you know, you've been hearing it. And you're saying, I need God to help me through this deflated time in my life. Would you just put that hand up? You ain't got to keep it. Just put it up. Say, I need God to help me. I need God. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. I need God to help me. Number one, not to believe this. And number two, to counter it with your word. Maybe you're here today and you know not to give in to it. But it's so hard. It is so, so hard because just like with Jehoshaphat, he could handle it one times one, but times three. And they were everywhere. You couldn't find a spot. They weren't surrounding him to take him down. Matter of fact, he saw a no-win situation. You may be in some of those no-win situations now. And Satan would just love to deflate you, to deflate you, to deflate you. I'm going to read these scriptures one more time and then we're going to pray. Though the mountains be shaken, this is the truth about you. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. Isaiah 54:10. What's the light of truth about your situation? Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We can be like those little bitty fish where nobody else can survive. Those fish survived because the inside was greater than the outside. What does the light of truth say about your future? God says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Jeremiah 29:11. I want everybody right now, just repeat after me. Lord, there's a lot of voices coming my way. Some are on the outside, and that's hard. But some are on the inside, and that's harder. I thank you, Lord, for your revelation, for your word, for your power, for your inspiration, for your authority. You tell us to capture those thoughts and pull down those strongholds through your power and your authority. And right now, we take captive every thought that's opposite of what you say. We take captive every lie of the voices from the outside and the voices from the inside. We stand together, locked arm in arm, believing that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. We rededicate, we repurpose our life to you today. We're not going to trust our voices in our head unless they line up with your word. This next week is going to be the best week that we've had in quite a while because your word is going to be the driving force, not Satan, not the flesh. We thank you for it right now, in the name of Jesus. And God's people said, amen. Amen, amen. One more thing. Just keep your heads bowed for just one more second. I want to make it clear. If you're here today and you're not sure where you stand with God, I'm not going to make you come up here. I just want to know. We're going to pray right from your seat. Everybody's heads bowed, every eye is closed. If you're not sure where you stand with God, if you're not sure that everything's okay, or if you're not where you want to be with God, while nobody's looking around, it's just us, I'm your friend, would you put that hand up? Put that hand up and say, I desire that closer walk. Right now, everybody, just put your hands up. Just put them up. And say, I surrender all to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. I remember a church sign I come by one time and said, don't let worry kill you. Let the church help. I think they got it wrong. I think we want to help you in your struggle, but it sounded like they don't let. We'll finish it off for them. Go ahead. kind of like the old redneck was out in the woods, and his buddy had a heart attack, and he called 911, and he said, "While you're in emergency, my buddy, I think he's had a heart attack. What do you want me to do?" She said, "Well, first make sure he's dead." So he said, "Hold on," and you hear a gunshot, and he comes back and says, "Okay, what's next?" We're not going there. God's got this. God's got this. God's got this. Next week's going to be awesome. We expect God to do something. You coming up? Come on here, brother. We're going to anoint him. Y'all come on up here with him. We're going to anoint our brother. You get here beside him because you're going through this too. Get beside him. Father, we trust you. We know, God, that you got everything. I can't say it enough. You've got everything under control. Ask you right now, Lord, to touch my brother, touch my sister. Lord, touch them physically. And I know, Lord, that when your physical starts wearing down, it affects you mentally and spiritually. I ask you to touch them mentally and spiritually. And Father, I thank you, God, for a tremendous touch right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we know, God, that you already know and you've already got the answer. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen, amen, amen. You're looking good, brother.